coffin variety, okay? I know some of our preacher friends used to tell some of these guys, they said, "Preacher, sure would like to preach that message you preach. I just don't know where to put all them hacks in." Where, if you've ever been around some of these fellas that hack when they preach, they take a big deep breath and they get, you know, go doing that. And that's just their style. That's the way they do it. Well, I may be doing that this morning, but it's just important for breathing, okay? Somebody said, what's more important, the Word of God or praying? And I'll say, what's more important, breathing in or breathing out? Which one of them is more important? I think it takes all of it, don't you? Well, let's look, if you will, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. And the Bible says there in verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you for the good time of worship and the good time of fellowship, just being able to be together with the saints of God. I thank you for that. I pray now you add your blessings, and I pray you add your touch. Everything that's said and everything that's done here today, may we do it to give you praise, and may we do it to worship you, and may we just think about you and what you have in our lives and what you want to do with our lives today. And if there is somebody here today, they need salvation, please draw them by the precious Holy Spirit of God to a place where they'll realize that Christ Jesus is their only hope. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'll preach to you this morning just for a little bit if I can. Preach to you about focus on the finish. Focus on the finish. And really, let me say this. Focus on the finish. And while you're focusing on the finish, focus on your faith. Now, if you'll think, and most of you know this, you pick up here in chapter number 12, and the writer in Hebrews starts out and says this as he begins. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Well, that almost seems a little odd, the way to start out this chapter with the word "wherefore." You know, I told you that one of the old college Bible professors would always say, whenever you see a "wherefore" or a "therefore" in your Bible, you want to know what it's there for. I mean, what is this relating? It's telling you something beforehand, right? He's saying "wherefore." So by that, you need to look back in your Bible, look back to the previous chapter or chapters to see what we're talking about. Well, what are we talking about? Well, obviously, through this whole book of Hebrews, we've been talking about Jesus. And as you get into chapters 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, you begin to get a better picture of what the writer is trying to say. And what the writer is trying to say in those chapters is this. He's talking, and of course, obviously, the whole book's about, or written to the Hebrews. He's writing about the Hebrew system of religion, if you will, about the law and about how that Christ Jesus came in to establish the New Testament, to fulfill the law and to make himself the sacrifice for our sins. I mean, that's what it's all about. Pretty simple, but there's a lot of reading there, and you got to, you know, kind of delve through it. So as you get into chapters, I say 6, 7, and 8, probably 7 and 8 more particularly, you see that the Bible tells us about Jesus is our great high priest. It begins to tell the story about the high priest. Hey, every Hebrew, every child of Israel understood about the high priest. The high priest was the man that stood, as they looked upon him, as the head of the religious structure that God had given in the Old Testament. He was the man that once a year offered the blood sacrifice to roll away the sins, make an atonement for Israel. Right. They understood every bit of that. Well, the writer here in Hebrews says this, there is now no more high priest in succession like there was in the Old Testament. We've got one high priest, and he comes in the person of Jesus Christ sent from heaven. As a matter of fact, the writer here calls him our great high priest. And thank God for that. Aren't you glad he is our great high priest? And then in there in chapter number 7, you begin to see he says that he's after the order of Melchizedek, which is an Old Testament figure. And if you go back, you can read that in the book of Genesis, and you see how that Abraham gave tithes, how that Abraham paid tithes in Melchizedek, how he paid them to him. And Melchizedek is one of those mysterious figures. He's not in the lineage of the people of Israel, and he's not a high priest after their order. The writer there talks about, you know, they had to come through the order of Aaron. It was Aaron and his sons and their descendants and so on. That's the order of the high priesthood. But he said there came one that was different. And he was not from the same tribe as Aaron and Moses. He didn't come out of their tribe, but he came out of the tribe of Judah. And out of the tribe of Judah, there wasn't supposed to be a high priest. But thank God there was one that is the great high priest forevermore. And his name is Jesus Christ. And then he began to talk about how that those other high priests had given sacrifices. They brought the blood, and he talks about the blood of bulls and goats and calves and heifers and, you know, so on and so forth, how that all those things were given. He said, but now this man, talk about the great high priest that we have, has one time entered into the holiest place of all, and he brought his own blood. Jesus went in to the high place of heaven with a blood sacrifice of his own blood and placed it on the mercy seat of God, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's in chapter number 9. And then in chapter number 10, he goes on a little bit further and says, look, now that we understand those things, now that we know we got a great high priest, now that we know he's offered his blood, now that we know we have the forgiveness of our sins, he says, we have an access way before God in heaven. And he begins to tell you that in verse number 19 of chapter number 10, if you want to go through and read that. And then he goes on and delineates just a little bit further in chapter number 10 and talks about how that the just are to live by faith. So that's where the faith component enters in. And then in chapter number 11 is all about faith. He says in the beginning, now faith is. And you can go on and read that, and you'll see that he gives you, starts out with a little definition of faith. And then beyond that, he gives you a description of some of those that are the faithful. He don't just talk about what faith is. He gives you some people and said, here's those that are faithful. And then as you begin to read through the end of that chapter in verse number 32 and following, you know, he's giving you some people. And then he says, what shall I say more? And then he begins to tell about others that he hadn't even had time to mention, but they're counted among the faithful. He talks about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophet. He said all of these lived and not having received the promise, which is for me and for you by faith, that you're saved by faith. He said they didn't get it. They were looking for it. Now we're looking back at it that Jesus has come and died for our sins. So he says, that's what you've got. That's what you know. And then he says in chapter number 12 where we started out here, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You see that? He says, look, here's all of this that's happened before you, and you're encircled. You're compassed about. You are camped out around you. There's a group of folks that's gone on to heaven by faith. He said, now what's going to hinder you The only thing that'll hinder you is you. That's what he's preaching to. So that's what I'm saying. Let's focus on faith and let's focus on the finish as you look here at these things that he mentions. First of all, let's notice this. If you will, first of all, talking about focusing on something, I want you to focus on the results of those that are mentioned there and they've gone on before us. Those that are mentioned in chapter number 11, as I say, it doesn't quite get them all, but there's quite a few highlights. If you want to talk about people like Enoch and Noah, and you want to talk about Moses, and you want to talk about Abraham, and you want to talk about Joseph and Jacob, and I mean all of the great patriarchs of all, every one of those that are mentioned there, brother, they're there because of their faith. You know what that means? They just simply trusted God. They trusted God in their day and time. You know, a lot of times we look at our day and we say, well, preacher, it's a rough day and it's an ugly day and it's a bad day and I got it. I believe that. I believe we're in some of the most troublesome and wearisome times. Can I tell you, I believe there's been some rough days in days gone by too. Right. I believe there were some tough times in times past. But aren't you glad God's been faithful through every bit of it? Right. Amen. I mean, first of all, let's just... As I say, look at the results of those that have gone forth. First of all, notice this. I want you to understand when you look at those that are going on forth, hey, they all reached the goal that they were aiming for. They all got to where they were going for. Had to get there, preacher. They got there by faith. Amen? I'm telling you, Moses. I'm telling you, Abraham. I'm telling you, Jacob. I'm telling you, all of these men that are mentioned in the Scripture, they got to heaven. They got to see Jesus. They saw him by faith. Amen. And their faith was in him. I mean, just look at the results that they had. He said, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. I mean, you got a big crowd that you're looking at. Can I tell you, there's some people that's been in your life that's probably you and I mentioned and lived through here for a while. We understand came out of this church. And you know how they got to heaven? Thank God they got there by faith. Not because there's a good mama or a good daddy, and I believe many men and women were, but they got there because of what Jesus did for them. Amen. And I'm telling you, you see that they reached the goal. But don't you notice this? They all received a good report from the Lord. You see what it says there? Oh, listen. Look back in chapter number 11, if you will. And it's talking about, you know, in verse 32, he says, there's others and others. And in verse 39, he says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It wasn't complete. I mean, they got in by faith, but this thing wasn't complete until it got preached to me and you and I trusted Jesus by faith. Amen? That's what he's saying. Boy, let me tell you this. They reached their goal. They got to where they're going. But aren't you glad they got a good report from God through faith? I mean, can you imagine looking at chapter number 11? When you look there at chapter number 11 and the people that are mentioned there, there's some people in there that messed up some things in their life, didn't they? Oh, Moses wasn't perfect, but aren't you glad God let him get into the place of faith and he believed and trusted God? God used him. I mean, I'm telling you, Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham, we can go back and we can find some times when he lied about who his wife was. But can I tell you this? God counted him as one of the faithful. Amen. Didn't say you got to be perfect. He said you just have to be faithful. I'm not forgiving you of your sin and telling you it's okay to do what I'm just telling you, hey, even if you do mess up, brother, there's a place here. And it says these folks all got a good report from God through faith. And you know what all of this just tells us? All of this that we see in that cloud of witnesses reveals to us that you can rely on God. Amen. You can trust him. If they made it, thank God me and you can make it by trusting him. Not by being a better person, a stronger mind and my best days and how to live a better life and all that mess. You might as well throw that away. You better believe all you can do is trust in the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sin. And brother, God's going to be the one that'll take you home. Amen. So first of all, just if you will, notice that you focus on the results of those that have gotten there, gone on there before us. But second of all, don't you notice it? Let's focus. The writer says here, no, don't just, he said, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great cloud of witness. I mean, don't just look at them. But he says, now next, focus on you and what you got to do. The next focus on you and I need to focus on the race that is set here before us. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, listen to what he said. Let us, now he's talking to us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. I want you to focus on the race that you are running. It's a good thing to look back and realize God has kept his word and brought folks to heaven and they were faithful and God counted them as faithful for trust and believe him. Great thing to do that. Look back at that. Get your focus on that sometime, but don't keep your focus there on it. Now you've got to focus on the race that you run. Amen. Do you know you're in a race? I mean, you're in a battle here, folks. And I'll tell you something. When you look at that idea of a race, this is not a 100-meter sprint. You know, there's a lot of folks say, well, preacher, I made it for a week with the Lord. Well, brother, you just got started good. I mean, this is a lifelong thing. This is a marathon that you and I are in. It ain't a short race. It ain't a little bitty thing. Brother, I'm telling you, some of them guys can get out there and run fast for a while. Amen. Y'all ever watch them dudes on TV? I mean, I'm amazed at them. I watch them. Man, they come out of them starting blocks. They got their head up. They're running down through there and boom, and then all of a sudden it's over with. I mean, 10 seconds and they're through? I'm like, you bunch of suckers. They strut around there like, well, look what I did. Yeah, you ran for 10 seconds. I can run for 10 seconds. Maybe. On a good day. I mean, I can run, right? But can I tell you, you ever watch them dudes do the marathons? I'm talking about for hours. I'm talking about training for days and hours. I've seen some of the documentaries and the stories, and hopefully you have too, about some of these folks that would train over in the lands of Africa. And they'd go up the hilly terrains, and they'd go into the mountainous region. They'd go where the air got thin. They'd do all this stuff to get themselves prepared for the race, right? And so when it come time to run the race, they were ready. Can I tell you, that's the same thing that the writer here in Hebrews is mentioning to me and you. He said, I want you to focus on the races. First of all, he said, when you get ready to run, he says, hey, realize there's some things you got to have to do. And the first thing is, there are some things that you should be putting aside. You see what he says? He says, let us. He said, let us run the race. I mean, we're getting ready to run this race. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You're getting ready to run the race. Well, preacher, what am I going to do? I'll tell you, when I was in high school and used to run, I ran a half mile and a mile on the track team. And we bought some of these. You used to buy them. They were like little ankle bracelet kind of, or braces kind of thing. And it was filled with sand. And the ones I had 2.5 pounds on each leg. And you'd put those on. They laced up and you'd tighten them down. And you'd walk around. And we'd go to train. And I had an extra 5 pounds on my legs to run with. And, man, you'd get out there and you'd train with that. And when race day came and you took them weights off, hey, the weights were gone. You felt lighter, faster, and it helped you in your competition. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. The writer here says, let us lay aside every weight. I mean, there's some things that weigh you down in this life if you're not careful. Lay aside. There's some things you ought to be putting aside the weights. What's bothering me? Well, I want to ask you this. What's important to you? Is serving the Lord important to you? Or is it more important for us to be at every little thing that we think we ought to be at, every little place out here in the world, every little thing, the entertainment and the sports and the movies and all of that? Is that what? I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying that it's going to send you to hell. I'm just saying, what's weighting you down on serving God? Well, preacher, I would do this, but I got to do, this and this and this. Hey, some of those things for us are weights. And as I say, maybe they're not wrong within themselves, but they sure are hindering me and you from doing the serving work of God. Amen. And that's what the writer's saying here. Let's lay aside some of those weights that does so easily beset. Sometimes isn't it easier going out and sit down, plop down, watch that TV than it is to read your Bible? Amen. Come on, somebody else say amen. Shake your head like this. Yeah, you're right, preacher. You know why? Because I do it too. Amen? I mean, it's easier to take a snooze than it is to pray. It's easier to do a whole lot of other things that this old body, this old flesh life, but sometimes those are weights that so easily will be there to weigh us down. He said, the weights, put those things. But not only put aside the weights, he said, and the sin. He says, which does so easily beset us. You know, there are some things that would beset you that wouldn't beset me. They wouldn't bother me in the least, but they might bother you as far as temptations and sin and stuff in your life. And you know what? You know what those are for you. It may be drinking. It may be pornography. It may be lying. It may be stealing. It might be getting out and wanting to go gamble and blow all your money. I don't know what it is. But there are some things that could beset you, and they're troubling you from serving God. And he's saying right here, let's get rid of those things. Put some things aside. If they're going to trouble, you need to come talk to God about some of those things. Amen? If you're going to run the race, you're going to have to get yourself in some kind of preparation. You're going to have to get yourself fixed up and ready to go. I mean, brother, if you're going to run the race, you can't lollygag and put off and procrastinate. You're going to have to get ready to get in this race. Amen. Well, preacher, I'm a goner. Yeah, I know. Amen. Wow. Somebody said the other day they'd started a procrastinators club and that they were going to go to it. Eventually. Eventually. That's about the way I am. Amen. Let me just tell you, we're all I'm planning now. I'm going, that's the way we all are. That's the way our flesh wants to be. The writer here says, do it. Put those things aside. Prepare yourself for the race that is before you, because there is a race before you. Not only does he say that there's some things you ought to put aside, he says you ought to be running with patience. You see that? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Can I tell you this? There's a race that's set before you. You say, oh, preacher, well, when my race comes, no, your race already is. You're in it. When you got saved, you got in the race. You're in the race. It's not a matter of, boy, when the race comes. It's a matter of, what are you going to do during this race? It's a matter of that. Let us run with patience. You're going to have to run this thing. In other words, get ready for the long haul. You know what happens during a race? Now listen, I want to tell y'all something right off the bat. I am not a NASCAR guy. I cannot sit there and watch somebody go in a circle on a left-hand turn for 500 miles or whatever it is. I understand earlier this week they ran the Daytona 500, right? You know where they stopped? Right where they started. And you know what? Burned a lot of gasoline, ruined a lot of tires, and wore out a lot of bodies. And wrecked a lot of cars at the end of it, my understanding is. I saw some of the clips. And where'd they go? That's all they did. You know. But let me tell you this. I'm not a big fan of that. But I know there are people that are. But they'll fight you over You know, Jimmy Johnson and Cale Yarborough and Kyle Petty and Richard Petty and all them people. They'll fight you over Fords and Chevrolets and Toyotas and Mustangs and I mean, just whatever. They'll fight you over that kind of stuff. I've been around them. But can I tell you this? Man, all them guys, they realize they're going to get into that and do it. There's got to be some patience. Because some days you win, some days you don't. Some days you're just wrecked, and some days you finish. Some days it's good, and some days it's bad. But you know what they do? They get ready to go for the next race next week. They get ready for the next one that's coming around, right? Why? How do you do that? You have to have some patience. When you're out there running nearly 200 miles an hour and you won't try to pass somebody, that's about as bad as being on the freeway in Atlanta, ain't it? Amen? I mean, you're just trying to, you know, jockey for your position and get there. Hey, you got to have some patience. Everybody else run about as fast as you are, and you're trying. Let me just tell you, you ought to learn how to run this race with patience. You're in this thing for the long haul. It's not like, as I say, boy, I made it through this week. Jesus, thank God, I'm doing great. Well, yeah, you made it 1 week. Let me tell you, in this year, there's 51 more of those to go. And in your life, there's no telling how many more weeks there are to go. What I'm saying is this is a long-haul experience, and you've got to run the race because there's going to be bumps. There's going to be bad days. There's going to be wrecks. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be days when you won't feel like it. There's going to be days when everything is sunshiny and bright. But there's just going to be different days. You're in it for the long haul. Amen. But can I tell you, I'm glad Jesus is in there with you for the long haul. You got to run this race, and you got to run it with some patience. I mean, you think about all the things, as I say, that could happen to you. I mean, you're coming in to actively face every issue that may jump out there in front of you. Whatever it is, just jump in there and face it and go on and press on for God. Paul said it this way when he was writing in the book of Philippians. He said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a going on. He said, I'm forgetting that stuff that's behind me. Too many of us let stuff that's behind us trouble us from going forward. You need to have some patience and realize just keep pressing on. Brother Ronnie sings that song with us every once in a while. Press on, it won't be long. Amen. I mean, you just got to plod along sometimes. Press on. You got to have some patience in this race. You run by putting some things aside. You run by having some patience in your life. And you run by making Jesus the priority. You see what it says there in verse number 2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You better figure out who the priority is in this thing. You're looking to Him. You're looking and saying, there's my goal. There's my Savior. There's my Redeemer. There's the one that loved me. Amen. And you're in this race. You ought to be running this race with the patience and with the idea that Jesus is your priority. It's not others. You're not here in this race racing against others. Do you know that? It's not like, well, I'm ahead of him. I'm ahead of her. I'm outdoing them. It doesn't matter about what they're doing. You remember what Jesus told Peter? And Jesus telling Peter, feed my sheep. You remember all that? When he said, do you love me and all that? And finally, old Peter looked over at John. He said, what about him? He said, don't worry about him. I'll take care of him. You worry about you. Amen? You concentrate on you. And you and I ought to see Jesus as our priority. We're not in this race with others. This is not like the race of the, you know, Olympics and all that where you're trying to compete again. In this, we're all just trying to compete and help each other. I mean, you're not trying to, as I say, compete with somebody else. You should realize that you shouldn't look around at all your circumstance, all the things that are going on. When you do that, it will slow you and hinder you. It'll give you some problems. So focus on that race that's there before you. Now let's look at one last thing. You know, it says there, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But listen to what it says about him. It says, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That's why I'm going to tell you this. Let's focus on our Redeemer. Let's focus on the Redeemer. You focus on Jesus. While you're in your race, you're looking to him, but you focus a little bit. Let's just turn our attention and let's look at, he says here, for consider him. You think about him and what all he had to go through for us to have what we've got today. Amen? You think about what he had to go through. What did he have to do? Well, the writer here says, you notice some things that he endured. Jesus had a race to run too. You'd say, oh, preacher, well, that was easy. Oh, really? You think Jesus' race that he run was easy? How'd you like it if everybody was accusing you? Your family turned against you. And the religious hierarchy didn't want to have anything to do with you. And they wanted to run you out of their towns. And they talked ill about you. And they didn't believe in you. And they didn't want to hear what you had to say. That sounds like an easy road to go. What about when they brought him up for trial and it was all fake accusations and everybody wanted to crucify him and kill him and put him down? How's that grab you? How about when those folks that had just cheered you and lauded you and put the straw out and let you ride that little donkey into the town of Jerusalem, now they've all turned and said, crucify him, put him to death. What about that? Amen? I want you to notice what the Bible says here, that he endured some things. Enduring the cross. I don't see a one of us in this room that have endured the cross. I don't think there's a one of you in here that knows anybody that's endured the cross. But I'm telling you, Jesus endured the cross because there was more to the cross than just him hanging there. Brother, the entire sin debt of humanity was placed upon him, and he bore it all, and he died for me and for you. So he says, you consider him. Let's focus on him just for a few minutes. The things that he endured. He endured the hatred of many. But aren't you glad that he conquered it all to become our perfect example of how to run our race? You know what? He never stopped. Amen. You know what Jesus said while he's there on the cross? He said, I could presently call and there'd be 12 legions of angels would come down and take him off the cross. He could have done that. But you know what he did? He hung there and he bled and he died for me and for you. Amen? I mean, I'm just telling you what Jesus did for us. He endured some things. But second of all, I want you to see this. Not only when you're focusing on him do you see the things that he endured, I want you to notice that the writer here says, we're to notice some things that he enjoyed. Listen to what it says. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, gave up his life. Where's the joy in any of that? Amen? I mean, you see anything say, woo? No. You don't see anything that is joyable there. But I want you to understand the joy of all this comes as a result of what happened. And there was joy because of the results of the cross. When Jesus conquered the cross, when he bowed his head and said, it's finished. Brother, your sin and my sin was paid for. And then on that third day when he rose from the grave and he ascended to his Father and he brought the blood sacrifice before the throne room of heaven, thank God you and I could have life eternal because of that. Amen? That's the joy side of it. That's the joyous side. I don't think we can say it's a joy for him to get there. But for the joy that was there, the writer says here, that was set before him. Do you think there's joy? You know what? You know when you have joy a lot of times? You get out there and start working on your job or on a hard job of labor, and you're sweating and you're digging holes and you're having to break something down and apart, and it's frustrating. You go through that. There's not a whole lot of joy there, is there? But for the farmer, in the end, when those crops come up and there's a harvest day, that's when the joy begins. Amen. You remember the story of Ruth and Boaz? And it talks about how that Ruth's mother-in-law tells her to go down at the threshing floor. And it says at the end of the harvest, there was a big party thrown. And he said when they got through with the party that night, that Boaz went down and he had all that barley that they had threshed out. I mean, they had worked and labored and they had gathered it and they had threshed it and they piled it, doing all those things. And he laid down on it at the end of the night. He just laid down on it. Why? He was there enjoying the fruits of his labor. Can I tell you that's what Jesus is doing now? When he sees people getting saved, it's the joy of doing the Father's will. Amen? He's doing the will of his Father in heaven so that people might be saved and come to live in heaven one day with him. That's the joy that he now has. The enjoyment. He endured some things, but there's some enjoyment. All right, last of all, look at this. Look at those things wherewith he enjoined us. I mean, look, you and I, as I said earlier, we're in a race just like he was. And he is there with us. And the writer here says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He said, you look at him. See what he did and how he did. And the things, as I say, that he's accomplished through that. And as you begin to look at that, you understand that, man, there's a race for us, and we're to follow him in that race. It ain't pretty. It ain't always sweet. It ain't always nice. And it's not promised to be without some pain and sorrow. But thank God you can get in there and join up with him, because that's what he's called us to do. We're to join in with him. And you know, there's a lot of times people like to leave this part of the Bible out many times. But if you'll remember, there's a lot of times Jesus told people, if any man's going to follow me, let him take up his cross. Or come after me, take up his cross and follow me. I mean, what does that mean? That means there's some trouble. That means there's some sorrow. That means there's some hurt. That means there's some pain in my life and in yours for following him. But do you know that's what he's called us to? Greatest example of that I know of is the Apostle Paul. When Paul got saved, and Ananias, God talked to him, Jesus talked to him and said, won't you go lay hands on him, pray for him? And he said, Lord, don't you know who that is? Yeah, I know who it is. He said, I want you to go pray for him. He said, and show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Well, you know what? We don't like suffering, do we? There's not a one of us in this room that likes suffering. Being wronged, being hurt, being talked about, being put out. Nobody in this room likes that. But can I tell you, it's part of being a Christian. It's part of being a Christian. It's suffering. And there is a blessing, and there is a ministry from God for people's lives in their suffering. We don't understand it a lot of times. I don't claim to understand it. But I'm glad that the Lord knows. The Lord knows all about it, and he'll put you there. You notice what he said there? Consider him that he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. What's he saying? He's saying there are sinners that have come against Jesus. I mean, there are people that come against him. We know that. They were against him. He said, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Don't let it catch you off guard to think, oh, everybody don't like me. Well, they're not all going to like you. your life's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be continual pat on the backs and attaboys and all of that, like we would like to think so sometimes. And he said, I want to tell you something else. None of you have resisted against sin like Jesus did himself. He says that you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Excuse me, where is your focus today? Our focus ought to be sometimes we ought to look at those going on before us. But your focus ought to be on the race that is there before you. And your focus ought to also be on the Redeemer that you and I are looking to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Where's your focus today? Let me tell you where most of our focus is. Most of our focus is on us. It's on good old self. Me. Because I like me and I'm going to take care of me. And I want me to be happy and I want me to be wealthy. And I want me to be wise and I want me to be taken care of. Amen. The focus ought to get off of you and onto this race that you run and onto the Lord that you should serve. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song this morning, if you would. Hey.